Good morning. Good morning. I know that, gosh, this is always the hardest part, where everybody's in really cool, great conversations. We're meeting people. We're catching up with people. My husband is delinquent and walking in front of everybody. Well, I just want to say good morning. This is such a fun thing for me to be able to serve with you guys and to teach and to lead. And really, I have to kind of like make myself a little bit more subtle on my entrance, because usually I just want to be like, good morning, I'm so glad you're here, because generally that is my level of excitement to see you and to be here with you and to worship together. And I'm just so grateful. It's Sunday morning, and I'm Crystal. I'm on staff here with New Life Christian Fellowship. I am one of the deacons. My husband Robbie and I were both deacons here. He was one of the folks that was leading worship. And I have a number of things that I do here on staff. And one of those just so happens to be that I get to teach. And this morning, we're going to kick off our new teaching series. This is a series that is going to take us from now all the way through the end of the semester. And you're probably thinking, I'm sorry, it's February 5th. How are we already talking about the end of the semester? Seniors, don't freak out. We're going to be okay. It is a little hard to believe, but it's a good one. I'm so excited for it. There's going to be a little pause in the series right around Easter as we get to kind of really hone in and focus our time on Jesus and the resurrection and getting to celebrate the most amazing thing that has happened in all of time and the very thing that changed all of eternity, Jesus's life, his death, and his resurrection. But this series we're jumping into today is called Renovate. It is a practical guide to actually living good news. One of the things that makes me so excited about this series is that it's taking, at least today anyway, and the graphic and all that stuff, it's taking these two things that I love so much, design, interior, all that kind of stuff, and Jesus. And a couple of years ago, Robbie and I, we had the opportunity to renovate a portion of our basement. We live here in Blacksburg, and when he bought the house before we got married, the downstairs had previously, before he had moved into it, it had previously been finished, flooded, and gutted, which what that left was, and we can go to the next slide. They're a little fuzzy. I apologize for that. It left what we lovingly called the largest bathroom in the house, which essentially was a toilet and a shower, completely just taken over by iron pipes. You can kind of see them here in the back. Iron pipes, horrible floors, dank moisture, because it's a basement and there was nothing going on in there, and cinder block walls right up against the ground. So if anybody knows home ownership at all, that's not always like the best case scenario. There was just a lot of potential in this space. This space downstairs, it takes up pretty much our upstairs floor plan. So, you know, we don't live in the largest of homes. So with this, it was like, wow, there are so many possibilities. And so when we got married and I moved in, he and I, we started dreaming up what this space could be used for, how it might reach its fullest potential. So we made lists. I made a lot of those lists of all the functions that could have. We drew a ton of sketches on napkins and notebooks and never anything that was incredibly formal. But I looked over magazines and catalogs to gather ideas. I looked at the details, and sorry if this is awkward news to anybody in here, but I looked at, when I would step into somebody's home, I would kind of really study the details that they had in their homes just to see, oh, what's something unique that I had just not thought of? I dreamt of built-ins and partial walls and clean lines and edges, a space where we could go down and be refreshed, and a place that would feel like refuge for those around us. We had this goal for the finished look and the finished feel of this downstairs, a dream that really seemed so different from where we were starting, because the original, as you saw, was anything but refreshing or refuge or clean. And then finally it started. And so here are some pictures of the renovation, our staircase entirely moved. We had to take laundry out in the backyard. And this all happened in wintertime. So we were trying to be really strategic about when we had to do our laundry. We had to go around the house. It started, and we drew up plans, official plans this time. We got knowledgeable people to speak into those plans and the work that it would take in order to accomplish this. And we broke ground, literally. One of the first steps in our whole renovation was breaking through the concrete because we had no drain downstairs, which, like I said earlier, it was previously finished, flooded, and gutted, which means that flooding had nowhere to go. So we wanted to remedy that situation. And then here's kind of a more finished product of what it looks like now. Yes. So quite different from those two slides ago. It even looks even more different than that now that we've kind of moved in a little bit more. But when we're talking about this, we have this dream. We have this kind of state of where we're starting from, this original position, and this dream of what it could look like, how something could reach its fullest potential. Isn't that how we look at our relationship with God sometimes? Isn't that how we understand him sometimes? And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that scripture we just read earlier from Hebrews, and how we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and how we are to throw off everything that entangles us and to run the race that is marked out for us. That's how it ought to be. We need to have our eyes fixed on him. We see where we are. We see where we want to be. And we look at that, we can feel like, I am so close and yet so far away sometimes. We have this dream state with God, one where we might be found, perhaps, if our stories, if we were still writing scripture at this time, maybe our stories would be ones that would be included in the scriptures. Yet, as soon as everything comes in sight from between where we are, where we want to be, and all that stuff that's in between, it comes into focus. We're confronted with glaring obstacles and difficulties that prevent us or make it more difficult in getting to that goal. And these obstacles or difficulties really could be just what is keeping us down, what the burdens that we are carrying, the sin that we are holding on to, all that stuff. It could be that. The obstacles could also be, I just want so much of God in my life and I have no idea how to get there. And it has nothing to do with anything that's holding us back. We're just unsure of how to move forward. So the things that are right in front of us, and not only that, but raise your hand if you've ever watched HGTV or DIY Network or Fixer Upper or anything like that. Maybe you've done a home project, right? Okay, lots of us in here. You know, if you've seen even one episode, that there will be the inevitable drama. This is like commercial break time. What are they going to do? The drama of what to do when the unknown of everything that's been lurking underneath the surface finally starts to come out. Whether you're breaking through walls, whether you're hitting through pipes, and you're like, oh, we got a problem. You know that there will be a time when you start on the project and something comes up that wasn't foreseen at all. We desire to know and to follow Jesus, but we're confronted with life that can tend to make it more difficult sometimes. whether it's glaringly apparent or whether it's just bound to surface somewhere along the way. And so this series is aimed at forming a plan around actually living good news. So from now until May, we'll be talking more about these things, our topics, with practical and pragmatic teaching for the if and the when we find ourselves facing things that make it easier or more difficult to move closer to God. How to hear from God, discussing balance, the daily life and disciplines, navigating spiritual warfare and the supernatural. We're going to be talking about the 3 D's, and this is different if you're an engineer. But doubt, discovering freedom, and difficult people, and then how to view success. So this is where we're headed, okay? Let's go ahead and pray. God, we step into this place this morning believing that you are already here. Lord, and if we don't believe it for ourselves, God, I just pray even that we take on that faith of those around us to believe that you are here, not only that you are here, but you're excited to speak to us. You're excited to meet with us in this place and to draw us closer to yourself. You're excited, Lord, for community with us, for us to walk with you, for us to be here on this Sunday and to see it within the scope of our lifetime, that we are living into a life of following you and knowing you and being your disciples, your learners. Father, would you give us ears to hear this morning? Give us the excitement for you that I know you have for us. We love you, Lord, and pray this in your name. Amen. So when we give our lives over to Jesus and we begin following him, this thing that we desire, it kind of comes into view a little bit more. It's the intentions of good news. See, there's this good news that captured us initially, and oftentimes we started following Jesus. We might feel that in its completed state, that it might be a little bit farther off than we had hoped for. At times, we're confronted with what feels like insurmountable obstacles. And even if we've been walking with the Lord for any significant amount of time, it can also simply feel that there is still untapped portions of the good news that we are yearning to know. Yearning, we just crave it. I think that psalm of as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, sometimes can feel like because I'm quenched and I haven't had a drink in years. And other times it's, I have just loved being with you, Lord, and I want more. And we read Jesus say in John 10:10, he says that I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. And personally, I've been in seasons where I've looked around at my life and I felt like I am living in shallow abundance, hoping that there would be more to what Jesus had in those words. And I wonder that when we're talking about this goal of what our life with God looks like and how it coincides with this abundant life that Jesus proclaimed and ushered in, we ask ourselves, this life, abundant life, good news, what does it mean? What type of life are we exactly looking for? What's the plan around the good news that we're dreaming of? And how do we know that we are actually tracking along with plans in order to move closer to the thing that we desire, the true intentions of the good news? How do we know that we're tracking along with that instead of simply getting caught up into what is good? What is so captivating in the good news that Jesus offers is the hope of redemption and freedom and unity among so much more. It is a deep, deep thing we could spend an entire year and more talking about. But let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians to get a little bit of the plan that God has set before us. And we're going to go to Ephesians 1. I'm going to be reading this portion from the Message. There's a lot to wade through here, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But reading from the Message is a version of the Bible that is written to more speak to kind of the heart of what the scripture is trying to say, rather than a direct translation from the Greek, okay? So we kind of want to get this heart of what Jesus and Paul are communicating, Paul's understanding of Jesus' good news. So it says, how blessed is God? We're starting in verse 3. How blessed is God? And what a blessing he is. He's the father of our master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high place of blessing with him, or in him. You see, there's so much good stuff in God. All the riches, everything that we need, every good thing. It's in him and it's from him. That long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind. I think that's pretty incredible. He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus, honing in of his love to be made holy and whole by his love. That long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ, because there was a thing called sin that entered the world, Adam and Eve, right? We remember that story. So after that long, long ago, as Paul's writing this, God decided to adopt us into his family through his son, Jesus. And what pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, Jesus, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross. We're a free people. Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything. He provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans that long, long ago he took such great delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. Ephesians is the most general of Paul's letters. Most often when we are reading Paul's letters, he's writing to churches about specific issues, and that's not what he's doing here in this book. There's not some sort of working out in the church that needs to occur in Ephesus. I'm sure there was, but that's not the direction of this letter. Instead, Paul writes this letter almost like a sermon that is speaking to the eternal purpose of God, which he is fulfilling through his son, Jesus Christ, and then working out in and through the church. Paul describes God's intentions for the whole universe. As we just read in that passage, everything is brought together. Everything in deepest heaven, everything in deepest earth, everything we could possibly need. He thought of everything to bring it all back to redemption and restoration and freedom from the sin that so easily entangles us. And in particular, we're starting to see what's worked out in our human identity. So he continues. Now I'm switching it up to the NIV. Sorry. And this is a little bit of a paraphrase, but Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. This is kind of where we're going to sink into today. This is going to be the preface for what carries us over these next couple of weeks. But Paul continues to write. He said, in him, in Christ, we were chosen in order that we might be for the praise of his glory. And he's talking about the Father. God made way for us so that we could demonstrate the deep and completely known relationship the Father designed us for and desired to embrace us in. These simple words, that in him we are chosen in order that we might be for the praise of his glory, words that we could likely memorize and adhere to our hearts even by the end of today. That coming into Christ, we are chosen so that you might have the opportunity, you might have the life to be for the praise of God's glory. Here's what Paul's writing to the Ephesians. This living so that God is glorified and his glory is in view in you and through you, that this is who you are designed to be. This is who God had his intentions set on you. In order that we could live into our most truest sense of who we are by living into him. This is us. The message starts out this way. It says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Because the reality is that we're going to end up living for somebody's glory. Whether it's our own, our families, God's, or any other number of glorious things that we have here in this world. But because God is the most good thing, his is the most good glory that we could live into. That when we consider our identity in Christ, it is in him that we are intended to be shaped. And it brings glory to God when we enjoy him. When we take time to delight in him, to know him, to be in awe of him, to stand in the midst of creation, to stand in the midst of conversation with somebody around us, to look at that person the way that God sees them and say, this is good. This is a part that God loves and cherishes. It brings God glory when we live a life where his handiwork is evident, where we are speaking and living out of our new identity, our true identity. When we took on and we put our faith in Christ and our hope and our trust, putting off the old self. When we live into that identity, it glorifies him. We were created out of love, and not only that, but God actually likes us. He does. We're intended to enjoy community with our Creator and also with his created. And it's necessary to know that all of this is freely available to us. This is what Paul's writing about. This is good news. This is our identity, our fullness lived into him. That's how we understand who we are. It's necessary to know that all of this is freely available for us and all of us, and it always will be. How we choose to engage the plans or to not engage them, it doesn't determine whether the way to Christ will be open to us. As far as we can see from our end of things, he is the one constant that remains in the entire movement of this renovation. His offer is always on the table. So nothing that we do will change that reality. Praise the Lord. But we can impact how tangibly that reality might be experienced in our lives, how much we feel it and see it and recognize it and live into it. If the good news that Jesus brings is at its core so freeing and redeeming and unifying, it ought to change the way that we live our lives. This is what we're all longing for. Someone that not only affirms that feeling we have deep down in our gut that this world isn't how it should be, but someone that also says, I can offer you a taste of what is true now, and you will know the fullness of it in me. We're the adopted ones who get to see fully all of who we were intended to be from the very beginning. And in his design, we're wired to respond to the movement of where life is springing up around us. That's what's driving our motivation towards this goal in the first place. There's an unsettling in us. Something's not quite right. The abundance of the good news and living into our intended identity is available to us, yet we know that we are not left untouched by the brokenness of this world, by the brokenness of creation and humanity, and that includes the sinful nature of man. Living the dream relationship will seldom happen magically without any focus or intention from us. That even when you draw up a plan, the change doesn't occur. We didn't have this new basement, this new space, because we thought, I have a dream and I'm going to draw some stuff. And all of a sudden I walk downstairs, a new set of stairs, and there it is in all of its glory. No, the change doesn't occur without some action taken to move closer to that dream. Because remember, we're going to be navigating the glaringly obvious and those that will also rise to the surface along the way. So the things that we'll be talking about this semester span, as we saw, a variety of those areas. What's right in front of us, what could come up, maybe it's different for each one of us, I imagine it is. So that when we do confront them, we have more of a framework, more of a plan. How do I understand this? What do I do with this? That's what this series is all about. Pragmatic, practical teaching that can be easily adapted into our lives so that we might live into the truest version of ourselves, being people for the praise of His glory. That we end up getting to a point where we want Him to be glorified more than us, that we're not having to work out or stress over every obstacle that we encounter in order to save our own face, our own pride, our own egos. It's not about making me look good. It's about making Him look good. The goal is not to simply survive either. Getting all the windows and the doors into the renovation. Who cares about the purpose or the positioning of them? As long as they're in there somewhere, the renovation is a success. It's not that we say, okay, I know that I need grace in my life. I know that I need love. Probably that would be good. I know that I should probably read my Bible occasionally. Going to church is a good thing to do. So as long as all this stuff's kind of thrown into the mix, we're good. That's good stuff. But unless we have an understanding and a working out of the purpose, the plan, what it's meant to, how it's meant to function, it often just gets tossed around, or we don't really know what it's there for, and therefore we don't exercise it. The goal is that all the pieces that God has designed for us would be fitted into their place and for their purpose, and that we would live into the working out of the plans. Our desire, the dream state, I'm calling it, comes as we want Him to be more glorified than us. That we would hand over and trust Him enough to lead us through how we do this life. Because that's the place where we feel most fully alive. Being a people for the praise of His glory. And as we dig further into this renovation, I want to ask that we would choose to pursue the goal in three particular ways. The first is that our intentional movement and focus would be to press into Him rather than to run away when things feel uncomfortable or too difficult or scary. This isn't a take the hill kind of moment. Buck up, pull up those bootstraps and just go for it. Who cares how you feel? That's not what this is at all. This is a, I'm totally not catching something here. God, can we spend a little bit more time together so I can get some clarity on where we're at? So that we can be on the same page and I can have an understanding of where you're at. When things just feel uncomfortable or difficult or scary, I think we can operate in that flight or fight. And this is one of those times where I just want to encourage, resist that temptation. Okay. Say, God, you might be on the move, but if you don't mind, can we just stay here for a second so I can kind of catch my bearings, see where you're at, see how we're moving forward in this. Press into him instead of running away. And so Robbie is going to be sharing more on hearing from God next week. So that should help, right? It will. It's going to be good. Secondly, that we would trust that the blueprints are adjustable, that those drawings and sketches that we make up, this dream state that we have for how it's going to look, that we would just trust that those are adjustable. Because we've all had that dream destination in mind, and maybe not. If you haven't, maybe this is kind of causing you to think, where do I want to be? What do I want my life to look like? And how do I want to know God and understand him? But there will be things that come up along the way that will alter how we get to that destination point. It will alter what that even looks like. But just as much as we're trying to be okay that the plans will change, and some of us in here are probably more okay that things will change than others of us. And I get that. Let's step back to that first one. Take a couple minutes and press into God. Say, okay, God, things are going to change. Give me some time. Let me have some clarity, and then we can proceed. But for all of us, we trust that God has the complete set of plans. His blueprints are drawn up. They're perfect. They're great. They're glorious. We trust that he is faithful. We trust, as he says time and time and time again in Scripture, that he is for us. We read Paul saying he had his sight set on us from the very beginning, setting all of this into motion so that we could be reconciled to him. We trust that his glory is the best glory that we can be for. Be willing to trust that. And trust him. And then thirdly, seeking counsel. Be regular. Be transparent in community. Because things come up, life. And we can get tripped up. We can get stalled along the way. We can feel what we call stagnant or far from God, or he feels far from us. At some point, we're going to be walking into territory that we've never tread upon before. And we need community to build into this renovation together. So a good place to start, especially as we're going through this series and as we're kind of looking at the same window or wall, these topics being these kind of things that, okay, like how do I place this in here into the complete picture, that we would agree at least, we would look at how do we deal with doubt, hone in and say, okay, in order to move us closer to God, in order to see him more fully and to live into more fully who we are intended to be, this seems like the godly way to look at this. If we could agree on that, that's what community is for. If we are lone islands, which we are not intended to be, but if we navigated life that way, who knows what conclusions we're going to draw. So I just want to encourage that we just jump in, whether that's more fully sharing more of life, whether that's we just jump into some engage group or some Bible study, some group of people who are pursuing God that you can be regularly sharing your life with. We need that. We need that. Because we need to remember that we are interacting with bringing about the eternal purpose of God, which he has fulfilled through his son Jesus, and he is working out in and through the church, us. That in him we are chosen in order that we might be for the praise of his glory. So let's be a part of that. Let's take some time this semester. Be a part of these teachings. Be a part of the conversation. Be a part of some time of reflecting and just getting into our own selves and saying, God, where is this coming up? I need you to help me work through this so that I can live more fully into who you intended me to be from the very beginning, this beautiful artwork, this piece of design that we would be renovated. So let's go after that together. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I am so grateful that you are with us. So grateful, Lord, that you are for us. Lord, that each and every one of us here, you take delight in us. You see the fullness of you in us. God, there is grace that you desire to lavish on us. That's the thing of the fullness of your gift giving that we read in the message. In the NIV it says, there is grace that you lavish on us, that we might live into this more, Lord, and we are going to need it. We want it, God. I pray, Lord, that you would give us a deeper desire for you, Lord, that even considering what it looks like, or to even desire to have a life that is for your glory and not our own, Father, would you lead us in that? Draw us closer to your heart, God. You are the most good. You are the most beautiful and the most fulfilling, Lord. And it's in you that we find the fullness of who you've created us to be, Lord. And I just thank you that that is simple, cut and dry. Not a lot of hoops to jump through, God. It is just that we would step with you, that we would be willing to look to you and to put one foot in front of the other, to not run, but to press into you, God. Would you use these words and your word and the teaching series over these next couple of weeks to reveal your heart to us, draw us closer to you, Lord, that we would be made more into our truest form as your sons and your daughters. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for setting all of this into motion thousands of years ago. We praise you, God. We pray this morning.